Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to another week and a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. All hell is breaking loose in the NFL world. It really got going yesterday, and I wasn't expecting that because the legal tampering period does open today, and it opened today right at noon. But yesterday, players were just flying off the shelf, and they were either re-signing with their current team, or they were seeing players of big names, and it really started on Friday night when Stu was probably having a gummy and a cocktail on his vacation, when we got to see Geno Smith get traded from the Seattle Seahawks to the Raiders. But this has been crazy. And if you're just tuning in, and we can't get to it all, but we'll give you the big headliners so far. Sam Darnold to the Seahawks. Geno Smith to the Raiders. Aaron Rodgers, nothing official yet, but it looks like there's a very good chance he'll be the next quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh yeah, by the way, the Steelers traded a second-round pick for DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf now got a five-year, $150 million deal. He's going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Talking about money, 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 and more money, Myles Garrett saw us on Radio Row. He said, it's not about the money. I believed it. And I went into that interview, and I said to myself, how much does he actually want to win? And he had me eating out of the palm of his hand. Oh, yeah, I believe him. He's all in. He's all in about going to a Super Bowl contender. No. He was all in about putting the most amount of money in his bank account, which, you know what? I can't crush him for it. But Myles Garrett got pizzayed by the Cleveland Browns. You won't win anything. What's going to happen to Micah Parsons? What's going to happen to Trey Hendrickson? I don't know. I do know, though, Davante Adams is going to the Los Angeles Rams. So that's pretty much a lot of it. And we'll continue to update you throughout the show. My team actually is having a pulse. Harold Landry, hello. Stu, welcome back on vacation. Robert Spillane, I just stabbed you in the back, brother. Milton Williams, we thought he was going to the Carolina Panthers. Not so fast. Mike Vrabel, who I saw a photo of him playing blackjack, I think, over the weekend, said, we'll ante up. We'll put some more chips in your bag, Mr. Milton Williams. And he ends up winding up with the New England Patriots, and the Patriots also get Carlton Davis. So the big name that we're still waiting to see where he's going to fall is Aaron Rodgers. I will get to that in just a second. But let me give you the initial reaction to Sam Darnold landing with the Seattle Seahawks. I think this is a low-risk, high-reward move for the Seattle Seahawks. And let me just explain it a little bit. Number one, the contract is only a three-year deal worth $110.5 million with only $55 million guaranteed. So I don't know exactly what went down with the Seahawks and Geno Smith, but Geno Smith was a really good project. You know, everyone thought his career was done, rejuvenated his career, came out of nowhere, had a nice little run in Seattle. But Seattle was at the moment where, do you want to continue this and add more years and more money into his bank account, or do you just rip off the Band-Aid and move on? Now, I thought the Seahawks were in a good position, right? With, at the time, Tyler Lockett, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, DK Metcalf. You have Kenneth Walker in that backfield. You had a team with the first-year head coach this past year just miss out on the postseason. They had a solid season. I thought Seattle was turning out to be a happening destination, and they just needed to go get a quarterback. I don't know exactly what went down, because I saw one report that the Seahawks are willing to meet the asking price of Geno Smith, and they were willing to give him a new contract, 2 years, anywhere in the range he was asking for, of $40 to $45 million. Whatever transpired, though, and maybe it was that video that Grant Cohn had on his flight, where he saw John Schneider and also Mike McDonald in first class, and Pete Carroll, this is what Hall of Famers do. This is what legends do. They fly in coach, and they sit an emergency exit. And remember Pete Carroll on that flight to the combine walked up to John Schneider. He walked up to Mike McDonald. Was that the start of, hey, is my old friend Geno Smith available? So I don't know how it did go down, but what I do know is for a third-round pick, Geno Smith is now off to the Raiders, and all eyes were on the Seahawks. And Sam Darnold's name popped up there. There was a little conversation. I don't think anything seriously about Aaron Rodgers. You know, could Seattle just tank? And could they just totally reset and then go all in for Arch Manning come the draft of next year? You know, it's clear that I don't want to say Seattle is rebuilding, but they are significantly retooling. Because Lockett's no longer there. DK Metcalf got traded. And now you still have Jackson Smith and Jigba, but you made a move at the quarterback position. And the reason why I think it's low risk, high reward for the Seahawks is, do I think Sam Darnold's going to go on to be the next franchise quarterback of the Seahawks where he's there for a decade? No, I do not. But Geno Smith reached his apex in Seattle. Would I have liked to see in Seattle, if they're replacing Geno Smith, get a more long-term plan, get a bigger name in there? Of course. But you're now getting younger at the quarterback position with the guy that saved his career in Sam Darnold, had a good season last year, and you don't have the most pieces in Seattle, but you got Jackson Smith and Jigba as long as he could stay healthy. You got something for Sam to work with. You got the run game of Kenneth Walker, and now we'll see what Sam Darnold can do with less weapons around him compared to when he was just in Minnesota and he had Justin Jefferson, he had Jordan Addison, he had TJ Hockenson, and he had Aaron Jones. Right? That's what this is for Seattle. But the number one thing is if it goes south for the Seahawks, if it does not work, it's not that you tied yourself down to someone that it prevents you from moving off of the quarterback, because the guaranteed money is only $55 million according to early reports. So good, low risk, somewhat of a high reward move for the Seattle Seahawks. Am I sitting there thinking that Sam Darnold's going to go be the stud in Seattle? No, but I've seen crazier things happen, especially in Seattle. Just look at their last two quarterbacks. Matt Flynn was there. Russell Wilson says, not so fast. He goes on to be a franchise quarterback there, gets us two Super Bowls, and wins a Super Bowl. Then we just saw Geno Smith. No one ever thought he was going to be able to replace Russell Wilson. He had a nice run the last few years in Seattle, and now they hand the baton over to Sam Darnold. So that's the Seahawks side of it. Now let's get to the Raiders. I know we talked about this, and I'm not going to say I was stunned, because there's some other news that happened over the weekend where I was stunned. But I was surprised by this one. Now, for the Raiders, I'm curious, what are they going to do with the contract for Geno Smith? And we have not got clarity on that front yet. You know, could they extend him another year or two and give him the $40, $45 million price tag because Geno's on the final year of his deal? I guess you could give him a two-year extension, you know, really have it just be a one-year extension, but you dress it up as it's two and it's easy to get out of. I think what this does for the Raiders is it gives them a competent, reliable, average, above-average name at the quarterback position until they make their next move. Because quietly, the Raiders, even though I don't think they're going to be great, even though I don't think they're going to be good, but they have enough to just be a football team that they're going to be middle of the road. Like, if the Raiders win eight games next year, they're hovering 8-9, 9-8. Would I be shocked? I wouldn't be. But you take a look at the Raiders, you kept Max Crosby, you have Christian Wilkins on the defensive side of the ball, you have Pete Carroll coming on in, who, let's be real, he's basically working with only 3 years, and that's on a three-year contract. Geno's going to be at the quarterback position. There's familiarity with that staff. And you look around, you have Brock Bowers, you have Jacoby Myers. Like, do you have the greatest names in the world? No. But what will the Raiders now do at six? I don't think in signing Geno Smith or trading for Geno Smith, this takes him out of the Shedeur Sanders sweepstakes. But I don't think Shedeur Sanders is going to be there at six. I think the Raiders are going to have to move up to get Shedeur, because I still do believe that Tennessee's taking Cam Ward with the number one overall pick, unless the Giants move up. And then I would say that Shedeur Sanders right now today is going to be the second overall pick of the draft. So really for the Raiders, and if I'm a Raiders fan, I can see why some Raiders fans are like, okay, we're fine with this. You know, do they take Ashton Jeanty now at six? Could they trade back, get some future assets, still get Ashton Jeanty? I don't know. The Raiders have a lot of holes. But if the Raiders next year go 8-9, I wouldn't be surprised by that. Now, I'm not saying you jump up and down and you're a fact in the candy store, but it's about just returning the Raiders to somewhat of respectability. And I'm curious, I know Stu, when he was on vacation, initially liked it. Now he's had Saturday, Sunday, and some of Monday to let it really process and marinate, and he's been able to digest it. But this is just a move by the Raiders where I never fault them for getting rid of Derek Carr, but it's clear that they've had no plan since getting rid of Derek Carr to replace him correctly. They tried for Brady. Brady retired. They didn't make enough of an effort at the time for Aaron Rodgers. Bringing in Jimmy G, we all knew it at the time. Not only was it going to be a disaster, it was going to be an unmitigated disaster. Last year was a punt year with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Minshew has a marvelous mustache, but he's not a marvelous quarterback. Now you bring in Geno Smith, which he's fine, but you're kind of back in the boat where you were with Derek Carr, where it's like, you have a serviceable quarterback, you have a good quarterback, you have a quarterback that at times could produce top 10 stat numbers, but he's never a guy that ever gets viewed as, oh, that's our franchise quarterback, that's our dude that we're rocking and rolling with and we're winning games. So Stu, who's dressed in his Lakers purple today, as the Lakers do play the Nets at the Barclays Center tonight, where you will not have LeBron James because LeBron James is going to miss some time. You will have Luka Doncic on the court, but Stu is in a purple hat and he's in a purple sweatshirt. You're probably a little sweaty today, by the way, Stu. It's getting a little warm here in New York City in that sweatshirt.
Yeah, it is. I am adjusting from warmer temperatures, though, so this kind of feels cold for me from the past few days. But
bougie Arizona guy. Now, forget about the Lakers. Sure. Let's get to your Raiders. Raiders. Give me the thought, Geno Smith to the Raiders and where you're at on this one.
I like it. It is not something I had really considered. I think you said it best. It wasn't shocking, but it was kind of surprising. That's kind of where I land on that, too. I didn't think that was an option, but to be honest, of all the free agent or trade options, I think Geno was probably the best one where you're not committed to someone long-term like a Darnold, and it's someone that, you know, he is 34, but he's not like Rodgers or Cousins.
Well, he basically didn't play for a decade, so
yeah,
it's a younger 34.
It's a younger 34.
And there's familiarity with this coaching staff, which is big.
Yeah.
What do you want to do at six? Like, let me ask you this now. Are you thinking about Ashton Jeanty now at six? Because I know before this deal, you weren't. You're like quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Now, since they have a stopgap guy there, I probably am not expecting one of the top two quarterbacks to be there at six. You have a tight end in Brock Bauer, so you don't need Tyler Warren. There's not like a great wide receiver that's probably going to be available at six. Could you get a nice defender? Sure. There's like three linebackers in this draft, edge rushers that are all kind of getting grouped like just past six. So would you be open to Ashton Jeanty? And then you line up with Brock Bowers at tight end, Jacoby Myers at wide receiver. You got Ashton Jeanty at running back. And then at the quarterback position, you would have Geno Smith. And I would imagine you'd have to go sign another wide receiver as well.
I probably still would not do Jeanty at six. I think if Mason Graham falls, I would take him, make that defensive line, you know, pretty much elite.
There'd be already some beef on that defensive line, be extra beef on that defensive
line. Yeah, him, Crosby, and Wilkins, I think would be great. Assuming Graham is gone, I would probably then take the best offensive lineman, which they desperately need help at. And you want to protect Geno Smith. That's what he didn't get in Seattle. So you kind of want to improve that offensive line. Or trade back and get some more assets. And then maybe if you trade back, you know, 7-8 spots, then maybe take a Jeanty type of guy.
So that's what we got cooking right out of the gate. Sam Darnold to the Seattle Seahawks, Geno Smith to the Raiders. I'll get to the DK Metcalf stuff and also why it's looking likely. Nothing's a foregone conclusion. Nothing is definite until it gets announced with Aaron Rodgers. But it seems like Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback of the Steelers. If he's not the quarterback of the Steelers, it seems like he then will probably go to the New York Football Giants. So let me do this. Let me start things off. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. And let's start things off in South Carolina with Jerry, who's first up on the Zach Gelb Show. Jerry, what's shaking, my man?
Hey, Zach, how's it going, buddy?
Doing great. What do you got for me?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm going to talk about the two acquisitions. Fields and Darnold. Yeah, Fields to the Jets sounds like an excellent move for the Jets. Perfect fit. I think that's what Aaron Glenn was looking for, getting Fields, so that'll be a good start for him. surround him with, I think, Wilson already there, the wide receiver, and Hall, the running back. So they have some playmakers there. And then Darnold to the Seahawks, that sounds like a move. I knew the Seahawks been going to do that since they let Smith go to the Raiders. So now the Seahawks letting Lockett and Metcalf go. Now they need to get another wide receiver to the team up with Jackson Ninjigba. So how you feel about that? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think they need another wide receiver now. Who is it going to be? Not sure, if I'm just being honest with you. I know they have some other guys on that roster that they do like, but is this going to necessarily be someone that, like, hey, that they have in their roster that, oh, no, they can't go make a move and they can't go. Yeah, they got to go get someone else. You got Noah Fant, who's a solid tight end. You got Jackson Smith and Jigba, who I think is a very good wide receiver. You got the 1-2 punch, if they're healthy, at the running back spot of Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. Maybe they go address that need in the draft. That's a possibility, but, you know, that's a crapshoot in the first or second round. So let's do this. We'll take a break here. It is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. Ooh, Josh Sweat. He is now signing with the Arizona Cardinals on a 4-year deal. $76.4 million per Adam Schefter. He reunites with Jonathan Gannon. There was a talk show host just 2 weeks ago who said, Josh Sweat, where is he going to go? Oh, I think that guy's name was Zach Gelb. And I think he said that he's probably going to go to Arizona and reunite with Jonathan Gannon. So there you go on that. My predictions are looking okay right now. Back in 2021, I was saying that the Steelers should go get Aaron Rodgers. So now they're finally starting to listen. Maybe I could leave the network and be a GM in the NFL. My QB predictions 1.0 were this. Rodgers to the Steelers, Kirk Cousins to the Browns, Matthew Stafford staying with the Rams, Russell Wilson to the Colts, Justin Fields to the Jets, and Sam Darnold to the Raiders. So we've been decent out of the gate to start. And then I did have a tweet. This was going way back. Let me just find it. You know, Twitter's been a mess today. An absolute mess. In and out. 12 o'clock happened. Twitter down. My Starbucks today was down. They're out of cold brew, Stu. Starbucks was out of cold brew. So I know the people in Starbucks, right? Like, I go there every day. Like, hey, Zach, how you doing? There was a new lady behind the register. And I said, oh, usually when you don't have cold brew, they just give me a nice coffee and they put 2 shots in it. Well, she tried to charge me for the 2 shots. And it would have made my coffee that's usually like $5.75, like $9.75. And I said to her, I go, I'm not paying for the 2 extra shots. She's like, well, what do you want me to do? I go, they never charge me when you guys are out of cold brew. Like, I said, nice, polite. It's like, you're out of cold brew. I go, I shouldn't have to pay more because you guys are out of cold brew and you're going to give me some like light coffee. So she was like, well, I can't do that. So I said, okay, then I'm walking. I said, I'm walking up 2 blocks as another Starbucks. I bet you they'll have their cold brew. So, you know, I don't want to have to call Jordan Schultz and, you know, maybe then confront him in a Starbucks and be like, hey, what's up with the... your old man's, you know, company, what's going on? But geez Louise, we expected a Starbucks to at least have the cold brew today. And I was very annoyed that I had to go walk an extra 2 blocks. But it was out of principle. I felt like I was striking. I'm like, I'll walk. I go, there's a Starbucks 2 blocks up here that I know they have the cold brew. Anyway, this was back on December 22nd. Sam Darnold in the NFL was known for mono and seeing ghosts. It's awesome to see someone who was completely written off have this redemption season. Vikings have a good system, and I still think they're going to J.J. McCarthy in 2025. The Seahawks would be a good spot for Sam. Nostradamus sack. Ooh. All righty, we'll take a timeout here. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, we react to DK Metcalf landing with the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers probably joining him. Miles Garrett lying to us on Radio Row. And also, what does it mean for Mike Parsons? I'll tell you, this is an underrated signing.
We'll be back.
According to Schefty, Adam Schefter, the Bills are signing Josh Palmer, now formerly of the Chargers, to a 3-year, $36 million contract per Adam Schefter. You know, is that a huge name? No. But if you look at now at the wide receiving corps in Buffalo, you got Keon Coleman, you got Khalil Shakir, they just repaid, or they just paid more money to. You throw in Josh Palmer. You know, we'll see what happens with Amari Cooper. But you got at the tight end spot, Dalton Kincaid needs to take that next step. Dawson Knox is a solid player. You know, you got to get the deal done with James Cook. But I think Josh Palmer could be someone where we look at this next year, or this year and next year, and we're like, okay, he had some similar production to what Gabe Davis did in Buffalo. And I know Gabe Davis this past offseason ended up in Jacksonville. So I think Josh Palmer to the Bills is an underrated signing. But let's get to DK Metcalf. So traded over the weekend, traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Seahawks. They're revamping their team. Tyler Lockett gone. You have Geno Smith now on the Raiders. Sam Darnold now going to be joining the Seattle Seahawks in a three-year deal, $110.5 million, $55 million guaranteed. And DK Metcalf, he wanted out. I guess the Seahawks didn't want to pay him, and they ended up getting a second-round pick from the Pittsburgh Steelers for DK Metcalf, and the Steelers are giving him a five-year, $150 million contract. Two things on this. Number one, heck of a job by the Pittsburgh Steelers. A second-round pick. They've been trying for the last few years to go get another wide receiver to complement George Pickens. It didn't work with Brandon Ayuk. You know, there are a few other people that were out there that they tried the last few years, and nothing ever came to fruition out of it. Now, you go get DK Metcalf, and you paid him, which is more than fine. You knew you had to give him a new deal. But I'm curious what that relationship is going to be like with George Pickens. Because George Pickens is a me guy. You've seen it the last few years of his career to start his career in Pittsburgh. When George Pickens gets the ball, he is the happiest person in the world. But when he doesn't get the targets, even when the Steelers were winning games, sometimes couldn't get an extra foot down. If you remember one of those primetime games, he becomes a malcontent. And that's just the reality of the situation. And we're going to learn a lot about the maturity of George Pickens and how he responds to that trade. I have not heard really anything from George Pickens since this trade did go down, so that's an encouraging start. But remember, George Pickens and Deontay Johnson had issues. The difference is, though, Deontay Johnson a little bit different than DK Metcalf. No one ever viewed Deontay Johnson as a number one wide receiver. DK Metcalf, is he the elite of elite in the wide receiving club in the NFL? No, but he can be a number one wide receiver in this league. I think DK Metcalf is better than George Pickens. But I'm curious how these two are going to work together. And I think a lot more of it is going to be on George Pickens than DK Metcalf, because remember, now DK Metcalf is going on his turf, and the Steelers just gave him a contract when George Pickens wants a new deal, and Omar Khan's like, yeah, we like him. We've had encouraging talks. But even Mark Caboli joined us, and he's like, yeah, I don't expect the deal to get done because I don't think the Steelers actually have an intention to get a deal done. So to see how this relationship works with DK Metcalf and George Pickens is fascinating. And then, oh yeah, by the way, probably throw in Aaron Rodgers. Because is Aaron Rodgers really going to the Giants? Is he? You know, last week was the first week where I moved off of Aaron Rodgers going to the Steelers, because Caboli came on with us and he was so adamant about Justin Fields staying with the Steelers. I'm like, up, here are the Steelers again, punting, right? Not making what they should do, the number one move that they should make at the quarterback position. But it seems like the Giants, they're getting used, man. They are getting used. And would Rodgers go to the Giants? Sure. But the Giants are in a very interesting spot, because they have the third overall pick in the draft. Right now, they couldn't get Justin Fields, right? I'm not even saying that they wanted Justin Fields. Sam Darnold's off the board. Geno Smith is off the board. Like, you're looking around the quarterbacks that were available. Kirk Cousins isn't available right now. And you're like, who's going to be the quarterback for the Giants this year? Because the Giants with Joe Shane, they need to get a guy, unless if they just trade up to the number one overall pick, because you can't run the risk of what happened last year where you don't get your guy in the draft, then you pass on a quarterback. Sure, you got Malik Nabers, that's nice, but then you didn't get a quarterback and you had to go back to someone that you didn't want in Daniel Jones. So it feels like for the Giants, I don't think they're getting Aaron Rodgers. So I would then say Russell Wilson, right, would be out of a job in Pittsburgh. The Jets already made a move for Justin Fields. We've heard rumors the last few years. Initially, remember when Russ was trying to leave Seattle? Oh, Sierra, his wife, would love to go to New York, would love to go to the Giants, right? So maybe this is a one-year deal where you see Russ go to the Giants, where Russ is in a spot of, hey, you may be the starting quarterback, but if we're sitting there at three and Shador Sanders is still there, we're going to go take Shador Sanders. And you know what? I just saw this during the break too, Stu. because this has kind of been messing us up mentally. Adam Schefter before the combine saying the thing he's most confident in this draft is that the Browns are taking a quarterback with their first round selection. ESPN Cleveland just released audio from Schefter this morning. Schefter did a little walk back on that. So he's saying he's no longer as confident as he was before the combine. So I thought I knew how the first two picks of the draft were going to go. Now I don't have a damn clue, right? You look at Tennessee, I still think they're going to take Cam Ward at one, or the Giants will move up to one. Then at two, what does Cleveland do? They don't need to take Abdul Carter. They just re-signed Myles Garrett. We didn't expect that to happen. Could they take Travis Hunter? Absolutely. If they take a quarterback in Shedeur Sanders, I'm still more than fine with that. I still think they should do that. But if they pass on the quarterback, then the Giants go get their quarterback at three with Shedeur Sanders if they don't trade up to one to go get Cam Ward. So there's a lot still there on the table. But getting back to Rodgers, I think the Steelers, and I said this before multiple times, even though it's a risk, even though I don't know what I'm getting out of Aaron Rodgers, but they don't have a long-term plan. So I issued a three-step plan to get the quarterback situation taken care of this year in Pittsburgh just the other week. And I said, option number one should be signing Aaron Rodgers. That's all on the table. A lot of people think that's going to happen. If you can't sign Aaron Rodgers, let's say he goes somewhere else, then Sam Darnold. Well, now Sam Darnold's not on the table. And then my third-step plan after that, the third option would be bring back Justin Fields. Well, Justin Fields is no longer available. He's off to the Jets. So the Steelers, they could be a fun watch this year. Well, I don't think anyone's going to think that they're going to go to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. Heck, they haven't been out of the first round of the playoffs. They haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. But if you just get what you saw from Rodgers in the last 10 games of the season, that's still a top 15 quarterback in this league. You have DK Metcalf. You also you have George Pickens, as long as he wants to just stay there and he doesn't just keep on messing himself up and being his own worst enemy and shooting himself in the foot. I don't think Najee Harris is going to be back, but I've seen crazier things happen. And on the defensive side of the ball, you just hope the defense gets back to the defense that they've been the last few years and not what they were last year. Because last year, I think, was an anomaly for that Steelers defense. So pretty much what the Steelers are trending to be is like a 10-win football team. They'll probably be a wild card team if they get Rodgers, right? It's not a lock, but the last few years, they've been teetering right around there, be a wild card team or not. And with Rodgers, they have a chance to win a playoff game. I'm not saying they will, but for Aaron Rodgers, you could then end your career. It's not the ultimate high note, but it's a fine note instead of basically the disaster that happened with the Jets. If you go to the Steelers, make the playoffs, and you win a playoff game, it's a fine note for you to walk out on your career and then end your career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But there will be a lot of drama there because Tomlin, he's not a drama guy, but Tomlin's press conferences are awesome. DK Metcalf just got the contract. George Pickens is all about drama. And we know Aaron Rodgers says he's not about drama, but he is about drama. So that's where I kind of read the Steelers situation. I'm just waiting for the breaking news report that Aaron Rodgers landing with the Steelers. Because I'd be surprised at this point if the Steelers go somewhere else, because where else are they turning to at this rate? It would have to be, what, Russell Wilson? Because Darnold's off the board. Geno Smith got traded. Fields is now off to the Jets. At this rate, you know, unless if they're trading for Kirk Cousins, which I don't think so, I think that they got to get this deal done with Aaron Rodgers, and then all eyes are on what the Giants do for the quarterback position this year. And then the Giants, Joe Shane, draft quarterback. And you got to find one this year. So who knows? Maybe the Browns won't take a quarterback at two with the change and shift with Adam Schefter. So a whole lot to do today, obviously. NFL going to dominate the show. Patrick Peterson is going to join us coming up in about 30 minutes from now. Join us right at the top of the hour at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time. But we come on back. Myles Garrett stays with the Browns. What does this mean for Micah Parsons? What does this mean for Trey Hendrickson? And now Davante Adams getting back into the wide receivers. He's off to the Rams. Where are the Rams in contending for a Super Bowl? And what the heck are they going to do with Cooper Kupp as well? We'll get into all that on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. We got some news in the NFL. The Bears, according to Adam Schefter via Ari Muraov of My Sports Update, are signing former Falcons Pro Bowl defensive tackle Grady Jarrett to a 3-year, $43.5 million contract. He was released by Atlanta this morning after 10 years there, and it only took a few hours for Grady Jarrett to find a new home. I'll tell you, I like what the Bears are doing. I like what the Bears are doing. The Bears. I like it. They're being aggressive. I said I wouldn't get optimistic about the Bears until they are in the postseason. But now they got Joe Tooney. They also made a move for Jonah Jackson. Earlier this morning, they signed Drew Dolman, offensive lineman, and they trade for Grady Jarrett. And you get Ben Johnson in there. I kind of like what I'm seeing out of the Bears. Which probably means in November, when the Bears aren't playing well, and there's questions about Caleb Williams, and there's questions about Ben Johnson, and one of these linemen get hurt, where I'm going to be sitting back there and doing the Saturday Night Live skit, the Bears. Let's hope not. That NFC North is fun. Lions, can they get over the hump? They've been circling. The Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love, they're going to go get him a number one wide receiver. You take a glance at the Minnesota Vikings, probably handing the baton over to J.J. McCarthy. Now with Sam Darnold going to the Seattle Seahawks. And then you got the Bears. And we'll see if the Bears can take that next step. By the way, talking about the Packers, they have signed guard Aaron Banks to a 4-year, $77 million deal per Ian Rappaport rap sheet. One more note on DK Metcalf going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Stu, if you had to identify a loser in this, and I'm not talking about the Seahawks, I'm not talking about the Steelers, and I'll ask this question to Santer as well. Who are the biggest two losers, the two biggest losers, that they were not able to shell out a second-round pick and then pay DK Metcalf? Is there a team that jumps out to mind to you?
Yeah, the one that jumps out to me are the Chargers. I think they needed to get Herbert a viable weapon, and I feel like Metcalf would have been perfect for that offense in Herbert.
Okay, that was one destination that I had circled. I actually just did a sports minute on this. I recorded it during the break. Samter, do you think you could identify the other destination? This team is a loser in not getting DK Metcalf.
I mean, my Jets are always the losers. No, but I would go with the Bills. I would say the Bills needed an upgrade over Josh Palmer, who they ended up with. So I think the Bills, they're losing Amari Cooper, Keon Coleman. I would go Buffalo.
So since Josh Allen is already a great quarterback, and you want to talk about people getting paid, and outside of not having a Super Bowl, you know, if you tell me out of all the quarterbacks that haven't won a Super Bowl that are in the NFL, how would you not want to be Josh Allen? You just got that contract. You also got engaged to a very, very attractive woman. Like right now, the only problem that Josh Allen has in his life is that he plays great in all these playoff games and they can't find a way to win them for him. But it's not the Bills. I think it's my Patriots. Because Josh Allen's already established. Josh Allen's already an MVP. Justin Herbert's good, but they want to take that next step. Drake May, I think, is going to be good, but they wanted to be a household name. Not getting DK Metcalf, that was one for me where I was like, eh, really don't like that one. Especially when it's only a second-round pick, and I get it. It's a 5-year, $150 million deal. But it ain't my money, folks. That's another thing. I see all these people today, oh my goodness gracious, I can't believe my team spent this much money. It ain't your money. And the salary cap just keeps on going up and up and up and up. You know, the ceiling is the roof, as MJ would say. Remember when Michael Jordan said that at UNC. But I take a look at the Chargers, I take a look at the Patriots. Not only do you have DK Metcalf off the board, you also have Davante Adams off the board. He's going to the Rams. So we obviously knew that. Here's the thing with Davante Adams and the Rams. I like this move. I'm not going to doubt Sean McVay on the offensive side of the ball. I look at the Rams, Stafford back, Kyren Williams there. He's a stud. Puka Nacua. You got Davante Adams. Can they find a way, just like they did with Stafford, to find a little middle ground here and have Cooper Kupp stay? Now, it's different than Stafford because Stafford wanted more money. Cooper Kupp already has a ridiculous contract, but he's only played in, I think, 33 games in the last 3 years. So will Cooper Kupp restructure, take a little less in order to stay with the Rams? And if not, then where does Cooper Kupp land? Because I don't think you're going to, you know, if DK Metcalf, who's younger, is only going for a two, like, is it crazy to say that Cooper Kupp would only go for a fifth? I don't think so. I don't think you're going to, for a guy that's only played in 33 games in the last 3 years, and he's still very productive, I don't think you're getting more than a fifth, maybe a fifth that could turn into a four. So could the Bills still be an option? Yes. Could the Packers be an option? Yes. You know, the Patriots, could they be an option? Yes. Could the Chargers be an option? Ooh, talk about exciting whites. Cooper DeJean and Reed Blankenship move over. Imagine if you get that Ladd McConkey along with Cooper Kupp. That would be fun to watch. So there are some destinations for Cooper Kupp. But if I'm Cooper Kupp, maybe I would take less and say, hey, I'm going to stay with the Rams. And can you imagine the Rams on offense? They tried out Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, and Kyren Williams. Hello, that would be fun. I think the Rams right now are the third best team in the NFC. Eagles 1, Lions 2, Rams 3. Commanders circling. You know, Cowboys, can they make the postseason? Sure, they're not a top three team, though, in the NFC. You take a glance around the rest of the NFC in the North. I'm curious to see what the Vikings do with J.J. McCarthy this year. I'm curious to see what the Packers do the rest of the offseason. The Bears, stellar start to the offseason. But none of those teams come off to me right now as top three teams in the NFC. In the NFC South, all right, Chris Godwin back with the Bucks. Left money on the table. I think he left $20 million on the table, I read, to not go to New England. You know, nice story with Baker, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin. I don't think they're a top three team in the NFC. You know, who else could potentially emerge? Like the Niners? The Niners are losing a lot. And yet a lot of guys that are older coming off injuries. And the Seahawks, they just got rid of DK Metcalf and Geno Smith and Tyler Lockett. Sure, they get Sam Darnold, but that team still has a lot of work to do. So I think the Rams right now are the favorite to win the NFC West. And I also think the Rams are the third best team in the NFC behind the Eagles and the Detroit Lions. Let me get to Myles Garrett. This was in early February where Myles Garrett joins us right here on the Zach Gelb Show live in person. We were at the Super Bowl in New Orleans. I could use a beignet, right? Ooh, I'm really hungry. But Myles Garrett joined us, and this is what he told us on why he requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns.
This is all about football. It's not about money or, you know, attaining another contract. You know, just want, you know, to play meaningful football at the end of the year, be playing it to late into January and into February, and you know, having that feeling of holding that trophy.
I think a lot of people, because right, this clip has recirculated ever since Myles Garrett, it was announced that he's staying in Cleveland. And the new deal averages $40 million per year and includes $123.5 million in guaranteed. They expected me to erupt, right? Because Myles Garrett basically lied to my face. I understand it. I get it. And players and fans, we have a great disconnect. I don't fault players who leave everything on the field for staying in a destination where they have no shot to win in order to get the most amount of money. And for Myles Garrett, how genuine were his intentions? Because when he first said that to us, I'm like, okay, I believe him. You know, he'd be in on going to the Eagles. He'd be in on going to the Chiefs, the Bills, the Commanders, the Lions, teams that have a chance to go win a Super Bowl, and he could be the missing piece to already have won a Super Bowl in Kansas City or Philadelphia. But then the Browns said, well, we're not trading you. And I'm surprised how quickly Myles Garrett did cave, because this could have got nasty. He didn't allow it to get nasty. But when the Browns basically say, hey, we're going to make you the highest paid non-quarterback in the league and give you a deal, $40 million per year, $123.5 million guaranteed. Okay, you want to win, but you could also do this stupid, from Cleveland to Canton, what they keep on pushing. So it's unfortunate. Because the fan in me says, Myles Garrett is a great player. Myles Garrett is either the best or the second best defensive player in the league. He's one of the most powerful non-quarterbacks in the league. I would have liked to have seen Myles Garrett go to an actual Super Bowl contender. But am I going to crush a guy for taking the money? No. Because football's a lethal game. And yes, as a fan, I want to see him go win games. And I'm sure he wants to win games, but there's other priorities. And getting a deal like that, the Browns somehow, some way made him an offer that he can't refuse. Now, what's going to happen with Micah Parsons? This is also back from the Super Bowl when Micah Parsons joined us and he talked about his future with the Dallas Cowboys.
You got 1 year left on your deal. Do you think the loyalty will be there for you? Do you expect to get something done with the Cowboys this offseason?
I will hope so.
So there's no trade request coming from you? I know, right? People see Myles Garrett with the trade request the other day. People go, oh, I wonder if Micah's going to follow suit there.
No, I don't plan on following suit. As long as, you know, I get a deal done, I think I'll be pretty happy.
So that's not like convincing audio, and Micah Parsons has left that open. Where as long as I get a deal done, then I'm not going to request a trade. Like, they got to take care of me. Well, guess what? That price just went up. And this is what happens, Jerry Jones. You mess around, sometimes the game doesn't go your way, and the price just goes up and up and up and up. Ultimately, I do think Micah Parsons and the Cowboys, there will be a lot of drama. This is going to get dragged out. This is what the Cowboys always do. Just look at Dak Prescott last year, and they'll find a way to reset the market and get a deal done. But now I think this further complicates the Trey Hendrickson market. And I think the Bengals will get a deal done with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. I'm not optimistic now that they'll find a way to get a deal done with Trey Hendrickson. And I think they'll ultimately trade him. Patrick Peterson joins us next. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.